This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Hey, Chicago. I'm Courtney Kippers, and this is The Rundown. I'm an arts and culture reporter here at WBEZ, and a story that I did this year that really sticks in my brain was a deep dive into the Joffrey Ballet. And this reporting was prompted by a new exhibit that's on display at the New York Public Library that opened in the fall. And the show, which is on view until March, is the first major retrospective that's ever been done on the Joffrey. It really takes a look. It's the company's history, its contributions to the world of dance, but also the exhibit is meant to pose these much larger questions, like, who is ballet for? And what role should it play in our culture today? Now, if you're anything like me, the Joffrey Ballet is so synonymous with Chicago's art scene. Whether you're walking down State Street and look up and see the Joffrey's practice studios where the dancers hone their technique every single day, or maybe it's a trip to see the Joffrey's Nutcracker during the holiday season at the Lyric Opera House, their work is embedded in our city. That said, its origins are actually not in Chicago at all. The company was started by Robert Joffrey and Gerald Arpino in 1956 in New York City. Famously, they started with six dancers in a station wagon, and they hit the road with the intention of bringing dance to the people. And that's sort of the first of many unconventional choices that the Joffrey makes throughout its quite colorful history. Just to name a few, they've been leaders in putting more diverse dancers on stage, a huge deal for the dance world, although it's not been entirely perfect. They do a show entirely set to Prince music. They're the first American ballet company to go on TV, and they were pioneers in experimental multimedia ballet. And while this exhibit shows all this incredible work, there are some hard times, too. You'll see the times that the Joffrey battled back from the financial brink in order to survive, which happens several times. Those times of hardship, the story of surviving and persevering, well, that's ultimately part of how the Joffrey ended up in Chicago in the 90s. Even though the Joffrey is considered Chicago's premier classical ballet company, it was important for a lot of people that this exhibit start in New York. And it's not only because of the library's extensive dance archives, although that's part of it, but current Joffrey leadership, including artistic director Ashley Weider, also felt strongly that this exhibit should start in the same city where the company began nearly 70 years ago. And Weider told me it's important for Joffrey's story to start there because it belongs in the same class as the country's leading ballet troupes. Think the New York City Ballet and the American Ballet Theater. But Chicago audiences don't have to travel to see this history. Next fall, the exhibit will come to our city and be on view at Wrightwood 659 in Lincoln Park. While I was reporting this story all about Joffrey's history, the dancers in the company today were preparing to open the U.S. premiere of a new ballet, Atonement, which the Joffrey co-produced and was designed by British choreographer Kathy Marston. I really wanted to understand the through line from the company's origins in New York City to the studios of today. So that's where I started my reporting. Here's my story on the Joffrey Ballet, its beginnings, its move to Chicago, and its ultimate success story. Dozens of dancers are lined up at ballet bars in a rehearsal room. With grace and precision, the Joffrey Ballet's dancers get warmed up for the day. The cityscape peeks in from the large windows behind them as instructor Nicholas Blanc leads the dancers into jumps, their pointe shoes hitting the wooden floor. The Joffrey Ballet is gearing up for a jam-packed season, which will kick off this month with the U.S. premiere of Atonement, designed by British choreographer Kathy Marston. Setting author Ian McEwan's complex novel to dance is a big swing. But risk-taking seems to be baked into the Joffrey's DNA. Here's rehearsal director Adam Blyde.
From when the company was founded all the way to now, there's a real feeling of we have to try. You know, you have to be bold.
That bold vision started nearly 70 years ago when Robert Joffrey and Gerald Arpino founded the company in New York City. But despite a colorful history and dancers known for their technical excellence, the Joffrey's contributions have long been underappreciated. Now, a new exhibit in New York is bringing overdue attention. The retrospective is at the New York Public Library until March, then will make its way to Chicago next fall. But it is not simply meant to be a history lesson, says curator Julia Folks.
It's not just about the Joffrey. It's about these much larger questions.
Questions like, who is ballet for, and what role should it play in our society today? Folks says the Joffrey has grappled with those questions from the beginning.
The Joffrey has attempted to make an elite art form more popular. They go on television, they take popular music as a source for ballet. All of that is really trying to suggest you too can be in this audience.
The first set of Joffrey dancers hit the road in 1956. Here's co-founder Gerald Arpino speaking to WBEZ's Steve Edwards in 2005 about the company's early days.
We were going to conquer the world, Bob and I, you know, there were only six of us in a station wagon. That's how we started.
But the Joffrey struggled to find firm financial footing. By the mid-1990s, the company was forced to close up shop in New York, and eventually, it was Chicago that offered the dancers a fresh start. Here's Arpino again.
Chicago's always embraced the Joffrey. I think it's because we're very comparable to the nature of the city and the people. And here we're always looking to a higher standard, a new dimension, you know.
Starting the exhibition in New York puts the Joffrey on par with the country's leading classical ballet companies. Current artistic director Ashley Weider says that's the class the Joffrey belongs in.
This company is really important, and we want it to really be seen in New York City, where it was founded. So I think that it's a story that should be told and needs to be told, and it has value equal to any other company.
Weider says a lot has changed from the company's early days, but a tradition of boundary-pushing work done with technical precision very much lives on. And Chicago audiences can see it all unfold on stage when Atonement opens later this month. Courtney Kippers, WBEZ News. You can find more stories like this and others from my arts and culture colleagues at WBEZ when you sign up for our newsletter, The Green Room. Find all those details at wbez.org/greenroom. Thanks to editors Cassie Walker-Burke and Ariel Van Cleve. Justin Bull produced this episode. I'm Courtney Kippers. Thanks for listening.